Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And you are listening today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I want to take just a moment, beginning today, to invite you to the church. If you are in the listening area and you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., we have Sunday school for all ages, 11 a.m., Sunday morning worship service, and then every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. We've got the church address on there, service times, things like that. We'd love for you to come by. Now, saying all that, we'll say this, we are having winter time in the high country, and we have missed now, I've lost count, probably at least two Sunday mornings, several Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and we try to get the word out best we can. We try to put it on Facebook. We try to put it on the radio. If we do not have services, now, a day like today, for example, on the one end of the county, it's not too bad. On the other end of the county, they're having ice and power outages, and right here in Boone, it's sort of all right. So it just depends on where you are in the county, and sometimes it's hard to know what to do. We had to cancel a service last Sunday. We were going to have a ordination service, and we had to cancel that. It's a good thing we did. It started getting really bad about the time that we were scheduled to have the service. So in the wintertime, we just take it day by day. So, Lord willing, we'll be there this Wednesday night. But anyway, we're going to get started. I want to say good morning to Noah. He's come out and helped us today. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm glad to be here. You were talking about that, and I live right in the middle, so I've seen a little bit of both, little bit of ice, a little bit of it not being too bad. But we do want to say welcome to all those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA. Out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690, WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I'm double glad to be here. One reason, well, it's been bad weather, and yesterday I don't think anybody left the house at my house. And then over the weekend, I had a real bad cold and head cold and all this stuff that has been going around. And I don't sound that good, but I feel 100% better. I feel a whole lot better, and I'm thankful for that. I've heard this hangs on quite a while. I'm hoping and praying mine passes on pretty quickly. And so anyway, good to be here. You can expect to be attacked spiritually if you begin to study about prayer, teach about prayer, pray more, try to get closer to the Lord. You can just expect there's going to be an attack from the adversary. And so a lot of times when sickness comes, it might be just sickness, and it might be just sometimes we say, well, the devil. And we do believe that the devil's real, and he does try to hinder in our lives. But anyway, we've thought a little bit about that when our little bout of sickness came. I missed church on Sunday morning. I rarely ever miss church, and so I hated to miss. But as I missed, it made me think about prayer. It made me think about while the service was going on. I didn't just sit there and watch TV or mess around on Facebook or something like that, but I really tried to take that time and pray for the church service and intercede on behalf of the service. The preacher, Brother Kyle Austin, filled in for me. I tried to really take the whole thing to the Lord in prayer. So trying to put in practice some of the things we've been teaching about here on Blessings of Liberty. We're in a series on the subject of heroes of prayer, and we're going to continue that on today. Last week we looked at Daniel. That's the second week that we had taken a look at Daniel. We will look at Daniel at least one more time. But today we're going to move on to an example from history. We've been doing an example from the Bible, an example from history, an example from the Bible, and then an example from some Christian's life. Today we are going to look at somebody who maybe you've never heard of. A lot of these that we've looked at, people had never heard of before. We looked at E.M. Bounds a few weeks ago. We looked at Jeremiah Lafonnier. A lot of people had never heard of him. He's associated with the Fulton Street Revival meetings. Today, we're going to look at a gentleman whose name is Rees Howells. Rees Howells. Rees Howells was born October the 10th, 1879. He was born in the country of Wales, a town called Brenneman. And I might not be pronouncing that right. If you've ever looked at Wales and some of the names that they have over there, I just take a stab at it. But I think the name of this town would be Brenneman, and that's a mining town in southern Wales. And I will just say this, just a point of interest. My name, Wynn, W-Y-N-N, is Welsh, and I never knew that. Now, my grandmother Greer, she always said that her family, that she had been told that they come from Wales. But I never knew the name Wynn was Welsh until I was in the United States Air Force. I was in the country of England for 3 years, and I was golfing one day. It was a little 9-hole golf course in the town we lived in, Ipswich Country Club, but it was just a little 9-hole out in a cow pasture. Well, I went out there one day, and I didn't have anybody to golf with, and they paired me up with this gentleman from Wales, a Welsh gentleman. And I introduced myself, told him what my name was. He said, "Oh, yeah, that's Welsh." And sure enough, since then, in a lot of books and things, I have read the name Wynn, and it's Welsh. So that's just what we say, FYI, for your information, in case you was wondering about that. But that's where that name comes from. And Noah's middle name is Wynn.
It's a fun fact.
It's a fun fact. Yeah. Fun fact. And, of course, my dad, I'm a junior. And so we know three people named Wynn and a whole bunch of people in Wales. So anyway, I didn't even mean to say that or get into that. But Mr. Howells, he's Welsh. And Mr. Howells, maybe you've never heard of him. He's not one of the most famous people you've ever heard of as far as in the Christian circle of people. He's not famous as far as a famous evangelist or something like that. At first, he was a dedicated layman. Just worked in the little chapels over there. He became a preacher. He's a student of the Word of God. He became a pastor. He later became a missionary to Africa, where they seen revivals. Mr. Howells was converted during the Welsh revivals over there. And so he was in America, but he went back home. He ministered during that time to many of those that had been converted during the Welsh Revival. He is maybe most known for establishing or being the founder of the Bible College of Wales, But more than anything, Mr. Howells was known as a great man of prayer. Now, I found this book in my library, and I don't even know exactly where it came from. But I think somebody gave this book to me in a box of books they weren't using, didn't want them anymore. And I found this little book in my library called Rees Howells Intercessor. And it says underneath, "The Welsh Coal Miner, a Prince with God." And I just picked that up, and I thought, "Boy, that looks interesting. I'll give it a try." And I started reading it. It's one of those books that once you start reading it, it's hard to put down. And so I've tried to read this book in this short time period that I might be able to use Mr. Howells as an example of a hero of prayer. And so Intercessor, Rees Howells Intercessor, that is the name of the book. I don't know if it's still in print. I'm sure that it is, but the book I have is quite old. It's probably, I don't know, 20, 30 years old, probably a little bit older than that. But very early, as I've read this book about Rees Howells, very early in his Christian life, Mr. Howes was impressed upon by the Lord that he needed to live a life of faith. Now, the Bible says four times the just shall live by faith, but Mr. Howes kept finding in his Christian life that every time he would trust the Lord with something, God would call him to trust him with something else and something else and something else. And the Lord really called him into a life of faith. He was impressed by the Lord to live a life of complete and total obedience to the Word of God. And especially in his life, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And, you know, if a man smites you on the cheek, offer him the other cheek also. You know, if you're compelled to walk a mile with somebody, walk 2 miles. If somebody comes and asks you something, give them all you've got. And so he was impressed by the Lord to be obedient to the Word of God, obedient to the impressing or the impression of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so the book is a lot about that, following the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. If you were to read his life story, you'd come across many things that you would not agree with, probably. For example, Mr. Howes went through a time period in his early Christian life where he took a vow of the Nazarite, and that's in Numbers chapter number 6. Well, today, in the church age, and this is a theological point, but we're not called to make the vow of a Nazarite. But Mr. Howes did this in his life, and so he went a period of time where he did not shave, he did not get a haircut, and it was a huge deal in the early 1900s that he would do this and live this way. And it was just for a short period of time, but people took notice of that. Even his own family. Now, he lived with his own family, many brothers and sisters, his mom and dad. He lived with them up until the time that he was married. And a lot of times, even his family, although they were Christians, they went to church, they loved the Lord. But in the case of Mr. Howes, or Reese, as they knew him, a lot of times they would talk among themselves and they would say, well, he's just taken something too far. He's taken that too far. But really what he was doing, he was trying to please the Lord with his life. He was trying to be obedient to the Lord when God impressed upon him to do something. Now, one example I wanted to share with you, and I thought this was interesting, but the Lord impressed upon Mr. Howes not to wear a hat out in public. Now, many of you that are older listeners, you remember there was a day in America where everybody, all men, I'm talking about men now, they wore hats outside, fedoras, nice hats. I'm not talking about baseball caps, but have you ever seen a picture? You look back even to the times of the Depression in our country, and I mean people were poor. They didn't have anything, but if you look back in those pictures, most men that were outside, they wore nice hats. And so it was very common. It was common. It was accepted. It was expected that if you went outside, you wore a hat. Well, the Lord impressed upon Reese Howes to not wear a hat outside. And when he impressed upon him to do this, Mr. Howes found out that he had a great conflict in his heart about wearing a hat. And He sort of argued with the Lord. He said, you know, well, I can't do this. What will my mother think? What will my father think? What will my brothers, what will people that I work with think about this? Now, I want to say today, there's nothing wrong with wearing a hat or not wearing a hat. That was not the issue. But the lesson that the Lord impressed upon Reese Howes' heart through that was showing him that he was being influenced by what others thought. And he was trying to impress upon Reese Howes to unconditionally surrender unto him. And it was dealing with his self life, because this was not a sin or bad, you know, either way, wear a hat or not wear a hat. The Lord doesn't care. But Reese Howes was impressed not to wear a hat. And so He didn't wear a hat. He got to where he wouldn't wear a hat outside. But his desire was to serve the Lord and please the Lord. Romans 12:1 was a verse that Reese Howells looked to in his life, where Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So Reese Howells, he wanted to present his body a living sacrifice. Even then they would sing the song, and we sing this still in church today. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And so the Lord showed him through the hat thing that he wasn't really as surrendered as he thought he was. He claimed to surrender all to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord come to him and said, "You know, you won't even go without a hat in public, and you're telling me that you've given me everything." And so he had to deal with that. That was something that was in his personal life, and God used a little thing like that to show him what it meant to be unconditionally surrendered to the Lord. And so Mr. Howells, if you study about his life, read the book about his life, he had many, many evident answers to prayer. They would meet the little chapel, the little mission that he helped to start. They would meet together, and they would pray for lost people in the community, lost people at work. They prayed for the sick. Mr. Howells had a uncle that could not walk for 30 years, and God impressed upon his heart to pray for his uncle. His uncle was healed after 30 years of not walking, and it was a big deal in the area in which they lived, and even told him what day he was going to be healed upon, and he was healed. He walked to church that day and back home. And he walked the rest of his life until the Lord took him home. So just some things like that, some very evident answers to prayer. There were times that he prayed for provisions, for needs, and the Lord answered. One of the things that impressed me about the life of Reese Howells had to do with he would take a verse and try to live it out in his life. And one of the key verses, or one of the key teachings in Reese Howells' life, was John 15. In John 15, it talks about the relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ talks about the relationship between the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you're the branches. John 15:7 says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So Reese Howells said, if I abide in Christ and I pray and I ask, then God will answer that prayer. And so he spent a lot of time studying about what does it mean to abide in Christ. If ye abide in me. Now, if you abide somewhere, you are staying. You're staying in a given place. One example of answer to prayer that I found in the book that was very interesting to me, there was a man who managed a factory over there in Wales. He was an unsaved man. He was a manager in that town. And Reese Howells and a group of other Christians, they come together and they covenanted together that they were going to pray for this man until God saved him. And so they prayed for him. And after a amount of time, I'm not sure exactly how long it took, various circumstances, this man and his wife invited Reese Howells and some of the people from the mission that they were out of to come to his house and to conduct a prayer meeting. And in those days, it was very, very common that these missions in Wales, these little churches that were established, one of the things they would do, they would have what was called cottage prayer meetings. And even some of the folks in our churches around here, they remember growing up people having cottage prayer meetings. And so on a certain night of the week, they would just go to somebody's house. They would sing a few songs. They would do a little Bible study. They would have prayer. They called that a cottage prayer meeting. So this man, this factory manager, he asked Reese Howells to come to his house and have a prayer meeting. And so after a while, and I'm going to read out of the book just a couple of paragraphs, what happened when they went to pray at this man's house. And it said, when the Thursday evening came, four of them were walking up to the village, and as they passed a group of houses, the Spirit of God said to Mr. House, without any previous warning, go to that house and knock at the door. How could he do such a thing? He didn't even know anyone in that row of houses. How could he knock at a strange door without any known reason or even a tract to give? The guidance seemed so strange that he could not bring himself to act on it. He passed the house and went on a few hundred yards. When the Lord's hand came on him, he told him emphatically that he was not to go to the meeting unless he went via that house. He knew there was no escaping it now, so he turned back and took one of his friends with him. When they knocked at the door, a little girl opened it and without any questions invited them in. There they found a woman lying in bed in the last stages of consumption. She was getting ready to die. That's what that is. When Mr. Howes told her who they were, she raised both her hands and exclaimed, God has answered my prayer. I have been asking him all this day to send you here. The night before, her friends had thought she was dying and had sent for the minister. He had brought the sacrament, but she refused to take it because she hadn't peace. Someone had told her of their work in the mission, and it came to her that the ones who had brought such blessing there could surely help her to find peace. The woman had been a church member for years but had no assurance of salvation, and as she was sinking, the fear of death had taken hold of her. They were able to point her to Calvary, and she accepted Christ that night. As she had the assurance and came free, it was joy fathomless as the sea. Every Thursday evening after that, they had a meeting in her house, and she never ceased to thank them until she passed peacefully away into the presence of the King. They were late in getting to the meeting in the home of the works manager, but the Lord did more in a few minutes through their obedience than might have been done in hours without it. While they were telling what had happened to the dying woman, the manager went down on his knees as if he had been shot, pulling his chair on top of him, and pleaded with God to have mercy on him. It was an opened heaven, said Reese Howes, and we joined the angels in their joy over a sinner that had repented. And so I thought how amazing that was, as they had been praying for this man, and they were going to his house to have a prayer meeting. Mr. Howes felt impressed to knock upon a door. He didn't even know who lived there, but surely God had impressed upon him to do that. That lady come to know the Lord and had prayer meetings in her house. And then when they got where they were going, that so impressed that gentleman that he immediately accepted Christ as his Savior. And one after another, just like that, all throughout the life of Reese Howes, we have answer after answer after answer. In fact, it became known, it was said about Reese Howes that if he visited somebody's house, somebody there was going to be converted. That's how much fruit that he had out of his ministry. Now, there's a lesson there. You know, we think in our day that the more we do, the more we're doing. But that is not the example that we get from the Bible. I mean, what I'm saying is, even in church or in our lives, you know, we think, well, all we got to do is be busy. Well, we're busy for the Lord. We're doing this. We're going here. We're going, doing. But there's a great lesson from the Bible and from church history that we find that we neglect many times. We find this in the life of Mr. Reese Howes, and that is this, that the key to spiritual victory, the key to fruitfulness is not, Jesus did not say, if ye are busy. He said, if ye abide in me. He didn't say anything about busy, but if ye abide in me, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We forget that many times. In fact, I would say this, that it is easier to be busy and to look like we're doing something than it is to really pray and walk with God in obedience and let Him give the increase. It's easier, and this is why we do it. it's something we can do in the flesh. And you don't have to be holy, and you don't have to be righteous, and you don't really have to even have your heart in it. It's easy to be busy, but it takes more to really walk with God. The emphasis in Mr. Howell's ministry was walking with God. Now, another thing I've learned about prayer through Mr. Reese Howells is that he made a distinction between being a prayer warrior and being an intercessor. I've never noticed this before. I've never really thought about it to this extent before, but my first thought was, well, is that scripturally correct? Is that biblically right that there is a difference between being a intercessor and being a prayer warrior? Well, I taught a long time out of 1 Timothy chapter number 2, where Paul told Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we look in the Bible, God does make a distinction. He makes a distinction between supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. If God makes a distinction, there has to be a difference. Mr. Howell said in his book, and I want to exactly quote it for you. Let me find it. It's on page 103. He said, a prayer warrior can pray for a thing to be done without necessarily being willing for the answer to come through himself. And he is not even bound to continue in the prayer until it is answered. But an intercessor is responsible to gain his objective, and he can never be free till he has gained it. Now, I believe we have an example of that in Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 18, we say Abraham prayed for Sodom. And I taught on this back last fall, actually. But I taught about Abraham in Genesis chapter number 18. Abraham interceded for Sodom. He didn't just pray for Sodom. He didn't just say, Lord, don't go down there and do that. He came before the Lord. The Lord showed him what he was getting ready to do. And he said, what if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? What if there's 10? See, Abraham interceded. He did not stop until he got the answer that he was looking for. And intercession is like the prophets of old. You carry a burden for something until God relieves that burden. And so God seeks intercessors. Now, there's more I want to say about this. So all I'm going to say as we come to the end of our time today is that I'm going to continue on next week with the life of Reese Howells. And I hope you've got a blessing out of this. I hope it's been a help. I appreciate you listening in today. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. But God bless you. We'd love to be in your prayers. And thank you for listening in today.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.